Good morning. I'd like to start our meeting by asking the committee's approval of the agenda and the minutes. Approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any suggested changes to the agenda? If there are no objections, I'd like to consider the agenda approved as presented. We also have several sets of minutes to approve this morning. Can I get a motion to approve from the committee to approve the following sets of minutes? March 6th, 2019 executive session. March 12th, 2019 executive session. May 1st, 2019 executive session. And May 7th, 2019 executive session. Can I get a second on the motion? Okay. All in favor, Mr. Price. All in favor of, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any objections? Okay. Ayes have it. The purpose of this public meeting is to just share some observations as we worked through the most recent review that we had from the ethics standpoint, is to share with the board some observations. You know, we were very diligent in terms of following the new process that was put in place in 2016. But like a lot of new processes, you really don't get a full appreciation until you actually do it. So during the course of the review, we started to make some observations, some areas where we could make some improvements in the process in the future. And we're really looking at improvements that would improve transparency, accountability, and fairness to all parties. So we wanted to share these observations as just some suggested ideas for the incoming board and the incoming leadership. At this time, I'd like to recognize Mr. Smedberg for some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, as we went through this process, at the end we were talking about some things that we could improve or introduce to suggest for changes that would improve this process. Two I'll highlight here that are at the top of our letter, that the ethics committee should be composed of an odd number of members, changing the current configuration from 4 to 5. I think that's following good practice as it relates to committees. You know, you see that all around at various boards. And then second, that the ethics committee should be required to provide a non-privileged written report of its findings to the full board in public session. Okay. So those were two of the top recommendations, and as you know, we have others moving forward from there.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Smedberg. I'd like to recognize Mr. Horner at this time, sir.
Thank you. A fourth recommendation is that in a revised code of ethics, there should be contemplated a standard of proof and confirmation of which party bears the burden of proof in connection with a determination that there has been a violation of the code. Would you like me to go on to the next? Should I finish the list?
Yeah.
Or would you like to?
Let me finish the list if you're okay.
Yep. Okay. That's great.
Very good. Thank you very much. And completing the list, we also believe that from a transparency and also giving an assurance to the public that on ethics investigations involving members of the board, we believe that the Inspector General should automatically conduct a review of the ethics investigation, primarily from the standpoint of potential public corruption, again, to give an additional assurance that there was due diligence and that all of the necessary things were considered and taken into account. We also believe that the board financial disclosure form should be revised and the completed form should be posted on the WMATA website. And the final thing that I would say is that at such time when the compact is revisited, that we consider the option of making full board sessions a simple majority, which is a change from where we are today. I really, really do appreciate the support of the members of the committee in all that has been done. Would also like to just acknowledge the cooperation from Mr. Evans and his attorney throughout this process. At this time, I would like to just open this up briefly to any comments from members of the overall WMATA board. Are there any comments?
I'm one such.
Please, yeah, please. Absolutely.
Fall in that category.
Yes.
I think it's important to characterize the intentions and motivations of members of the Ethics Committee. I think it's important for the public to understand that the Ethics Committee acted in good faith and earnestly.
Absolutely.
And in a spirit of fairness, given the circumstances facing it. When asked to find violations of the agency's code of ethics. Now, one can go on, kind of continue on that point, but and I'd be happy to speak with others who want to hear more. But the characterization of our proceedings as an act of cynicism and secrecy is wrong. And an unfair to the members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Ms. Horner. And along that point, one of the things that we did from day one of the investigation was we, all throughout the process, received guidance from Kevin Orr, the attorney who was responsible for helping to create the code of conduct, just to ensure that what we were doing all along the way was consistent with what was in the code of conduct from a fairness and from a due diligence standpoint. Well, seeing that there are no additional comments, we just think, right. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
You asked for general comments. I assume we're still in that mode.
Yes, sir.
As you know, and as anybody who read a number of us were not part of this ethics committee as members of the board, and so some of your recommendations are very helpful, I think, to address some of the concerns that I've had in this experience. And some members of the ethics committee know, and staff members know, have been never very comfortable with this process as it was structured. This particular investigation, and I guess the one additional recommendation I would like us to consider, either as an ethics committee or as a board as we go through this process, is that I'm a strong believer that the investigator, when we hire outside counsel or an outside investigator, should produce a written report. And that written report should be the basis of the deliberations of the ethics job when you're forced to put your ideas and your concepts down on paper. I understand and appreciate that there was a very detailed oral presentation that was made by the outside law firm here to the ethics committee. I understand that, but I obviously I was not in the room. I didn't hear that report, so I don't know its quality, its composition, or its length, or its detail, or how it was structured. But I do believe that it is an additional step when lawyers have to put their ideas down on paper and list what are the charges against the party, what are the standards here, what is the law we're trying to enforce, and what are my recommendations as to whether there was a violation, what are my analysis of the facts, and what are my recommendations. So I believe that the future and ethics committee would be would benefit from having that kind of written report. I also think it enhances the deliberations of a body, whether it's a court or an ethics committee, in this case, or another body, to have a written document in front of them when they deliberate. Again, while I understand you had the benefit of a very detailed oral presentation, I think the ability of members of an ethics committee or members to be able to go back and look at the document as they deliberate has a great value. Now, I appreciate that the processes that you adopted in this case, you know, were based on some, I think, discomfort or reactions to what happened in the King Graham investigation of another board member a number of years ago before I or any of us was on the board. And as a board, we have to constantly battle and balance our interest in transparency and our interest in our obligation of public accountability with our concerns as a as an ongoing business with the type of litigation that may result from any kind of a public document produced by the board or the staff of the board. And I appreciate that that was what guided some of the decisions made in this investigation, in this context. I think in this context, the balance was drawn on the wrong side. The balance should have been drawn on greater openness, greater transparency, greater written record, and greater public accountability. I hope you can address some of those issues in the next board and in the next ethics committee after July 1.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. We're in full agreement, and that's what we were trying to address with the second bullet about having a non-privileged report. So I would accept what you're saying. We would, again, offer that suggestion to the board and the incoming leadership to address at their earliest convenience. We're in full agreement.
Yeah, I agree with what Mike has said.
What's that?
I said I agree with substantially all of what Mike has said.
Just so I'm clear, because I heard Mr. Goldman say something that was very different than what you just summarized, where I heard Mr. Goldman originally say that he believes that the investigating attorneys ought to provide a public written report. That's not the same as how I interpret your second bullet, which is that the ethics committee shall produce a public report.
The attorney on behalf of the ethics committee would produce the report.
That was our intent.
Okay.
I think that what I would just suggest is that when the board takes this matter up, that it consider the 2 points and then resolve them. But the bottom line is we believe that there should be a written report along the lines of what Mr. Goldman said and what we have here in this document.
Right.
And exactly how that would actually be done, leave that to the discretion of the board as to how they would merge the two concepts. Please. Yeah.
So that's consistent with what Mr. Goldman was saying in terms of you're not interested in all of the findings of the investigator being made public, but there being some sort of a non-privileged report created.
I'm interested in is that the investigator's report be a report for the ethics committee before the ethics committee delivers. substantial bulk of what the Ethics Committee investigator presents to the board will be made public.
Can I say, I mean, well, I appreciate Mr. Dorsey's questions for clarification. At this time, I think it's most important to emphasize and to clarify that to the public and our customers that the members of the committee acted in good faith and diligently to contend with circumstances and deficiencies in process and rules, not of their own making. I think some of us would agree that we are, at the end of the day, responsible for the conduct of the Ethics Committee's investigation. But in view of the characterizations in the media of the conduct of the investigation, it's important to emphasize the good faith motivation of members on the committee to contend with quite complex and competing objectives and rules or absence of rules when considering a matter of the utmost gravity, namely the reputation of a person, whomever that person is. Everyone should be afforded due process, and in the absence of clarity of rules, an insufficiency of information and notice, it's important to err on the side of fairness and caution. I hope that's a lesson that the public absorbs from this affair. This isn't another occasion to foment indignation about this agency.
Yeah, I'll just say briefly, I appreciate these recommendations. To me, these strike the right balance of not just being about fighting the last war, but in setting in stone best practices that should guide us well for any and what will hopefully be very few instances related to this in the future. You know, I will say, speaking somewhat to Mr. Horner, while I can't directly speak to the way your committee operated since I was not a part of it, I can say that, in general, any criticism of how WMATA dealt with this, while I associate myself with some of them, and I do believe that some of them were process-based and certainly not based on any malintent from any member of the committee who I think dealt with a very difficult job and tried to do their best, I think it's really overall an indication that, despite what many people would believe, we're not used to doing this. This is a rare thing, and it was clunky and awkward because it is a rarity and because it's something that hopefully we will never get fully practiced in doing all of the time. But I do think these process improvements will allow us, hopefully, if any future circumstances arise, it'll be a little less awkward, and there will be a little bit more guidance to navigate folks through what is a very difficult situation when you have to go through the process of investigating a colleague. It's not routine, it's not normal, and by God, I hope it never gets to be normal.
May I just make a final comment? Because I've reflected a lot on this and been involved intimately in the matter for days now, I'd like to make a comment with which Mr. Goldman might agree as a practicing attorney. We need to consider fundamentally whether the board is an appropriate forum for addressing allegations of malfeasance. Right. That is there, when allegations of malfeasance are made, there is an ancient and elaborate set of rules, procedural rules, that govern deliberations of the matter that were not available or prescribed in this case. So some may think that we should conduct an administrative hearing in public with notice of charges and opportunity to be heard and things of that matter. At the end of the day, we're a transit agency. and there are appropriate forum for dealing with the questions that were addressed to the board and which the board was not equipped to deal with in a matter that satisfied stakeholders' due process and basic fairness. I'm done speaking now.
Okay, very good. Well, again, our objective was to offer some observations, recommendations for the incoming board leadership to improve, again, transparency, accountability, and fairness in the process going forward. And we trust that the incoming board and the incoming leadership will take our suggestions under advisement and will address them as soon as appropriate in the new fiscal year that starts July 1. Again, I want to thank everyone that's been involved and want to thank everybody for their cooperation and support throughout this process. It hasn't been easy. Hasn't been easy for anyone, but I want to just acknowledge everyone, all of the support that's been provided across the board. And I think we all tried to work towards an appropriate, fair outcome. Again, thank you very much. And at this time, I would like to adjourn this meeting. And again, thank you very much.